Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard WTCM News Talk 580. It's New Retirement Radio time, Thursdays on WTCM, right after the 10 o'clock news, with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Ron Jolly, it's great to be here. Thank you on a very wintry morning here on a Thursday, February 3rd.
You sound like a Brokaw.
Yeah. Third. That's right. I don't know. Why did that happen? See, I always throw these guys out of left field.
Don't give me
thirst. Gerald DePord was. Yeah, there we go. Well, it's great to be here. Thank you. And obviously, maybe not so obviously, joining us today is Heidi Thompson.
Good morning. The crowd goes wild. Thank you so much.
Our own retirement income certified professional and managing executive there at Prout Financial Design on 1040 East Front Street for the time being, until we move.
We have not moved yet.
Yes, we're still at home. Asking. Yes, 1040
still in
East
process,
Front. Thank
yes.
you, thank you, thank you. As well as Shea Pataja, our CXO, Shea. Chief Experience Officer. Welcome, Shea.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Shea. It's great to have you with us.
Even
thank you.
It's freezing out.
Oh, man.
It is.
Why oh,
was
man.
It
it's
painful
cold.
This morning to come to? It was painful. I felt pain. Even though I've got my bogs on and my coat down to my ankles and my hat, I don't know. There
somehow
just comes
that,
a point.
Yep.
Yeah, the Great Lakes total ice cover kind of crashed and burned yesterday. It went down to 23%. It was closer to 38 a few days ago. But yeah, it's coming along.
It's going
to
come back mm-hmm. to frozen.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's great to be here with Ron Jolly. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, all. Good Welcome morning. Aboard.
Now, a couple of announcements before we begin. Next week, Jana Boothroyd is joining us, our data management specialist, talking about what she does for us. I think you'll find it interesting. She's here joining us in studio next week. Today's goals to inspire, motivate, and transpire. And it worked. I looked that up just to make certain that we were using that properly here this morning. We want to be proper in all respects. So, inspiring. Now, before we begin, Jill, my wife, said to me, Dennis. Why are you... She asked in a very positive way. I don't want to make this sound negative at all. She said, why do you so love the goal setting? And I just stood back for a moment and I thought to myself, Why do I do this? Why do I get, I am so wound and excited about what this means. Some people think I'm a little weird, like Shay and Heidi talking to me this morning. I'm sure it's like, well, he's really onto it this morning. And it started as a result of, I think, personally, when I started in this field. I had all the constructive pieces, if you will, through business school at Central to do a career in business. But I didn't have an understanding of relationships, interrelationships in the business sense, a proper attitude. All those things, to me, personally, were lacking. So I got onto Nightingale Conant stuff and started listening to their goal setting tapes, and I actually took them with me in the car because most of my I was traveling a lot in those days, and I would listen nonstop, tape after tape after tape, and it began to change my life.
It
Brian Tracy and all
brain.
The rest, it mm-hmm. rewired my brain, which needed to happen.
It's
needed
possible.
To happen.
Yeah.
See,
I've listened to that before, and I said, that, you know, I'm going to start goal setting one of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I never did.
Yeah.
But any time I did set a goal, it does work.
It's kind of crazy.
So you made yourself. You were so impressed. You actually did do the goal
setting.
Well,
I didn't think I had a choice, to be really honest. I just, because I moved up here, Jill and I moved up here, and I started working for Paul Sutherland in 85, and I didn't know anybody up here. Zero. Well, except for a few family members, but that really, it was nothing. So I...
You had to psych yourself up.
I had to. I didn't think I had a choice. Hmm. Well, that goal setting, none of it ever happens all at once, but as a result of it, I started teaching those classes years ago by Successful Money Management Seminars, 1990. I can't say I never would have, but I don't think I ever would have done that without the goal setting ideals going on.
Hmm.
Because Paul said to me, not to his own fault at all, Dennis, you're going to spend $10,000 on a class, on your first class? That was a lot of money in those days. Hmm. It was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, gee. But I knew two things. I knew that people wanted... I thought the population wanted a non-threatening way to gain more information about how to retire. There was way too much to be shared in my mind, and with a financial advisor, mm-hmm. they had to be able to, you know, we didn't have the internet back then.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have a way to get educated about how to do this thing, because the pendulum was shifting from it's a pension to it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, frankly, I wanted for people to find out who I was. I didn't know how else to do it.
Hmm.
And maybe three. There's a third one. I love teaching and people. I just did. I knew that I would enjoy doing that. That I wanted to bring people together to have that atmosphere of a classroom so that they could gain that information.
Because you can, by imparting that education, you make... it better for them. They make better decisions, and they can set their goals too.
Yeah, and it's not just selfish, if you will. It's the feeling of people appreciating and saying that, man, I wish I would have had this 20 years ago. I wish I would have known this 20 years ago. That's their way to say thank you.
Can you imagine if in schools that was part of the curriculum, starting from, I don't know, pick a grade, teaching the magic of goal setting and doing all the exercises that students would discover, hey, this kind of works.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
It's mm-hmm. life-changing. And I've been noodling this around for a couple of months. You know, should we do a goal setting show? Well, here we are at the beginning of the year, and what pushed me over the edge? Cooper Kupp's Approach to Greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Illustrated.
You know him.
Baby.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is an amazing article, and I say that honestly, this is one of the better written stories I've ever seen in relation to anyone in the sports field.
Do you read Sports Illustrated, or did somebody turn that on to you?
I happened to catch it. I was looking for stuff, frankly, and this popped up, and I thought, what's his approach to greatness?
Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
By the way, he's L.A. Rams wide receiver who has set individual and maybe NFL records this season, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, to put a fine point to that, receptions, 145, receiving yards, almost 2,000, 1947, yeah. And touchdown catches, 16. Not bad.
Receiving from Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, have we ever heard of him? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah, fun, right?
I'm really glad you two are connecting over this. Heidi and I were like, wait, what football player?
Stafford
who
was
is
with,
this again?
Who is this?
Stafford was languishing with the Lions.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And has gone on to greatness now.
Cooper Kupp, so are you going to share with us some of his secrets?
Yes, I am.
That's good.
Oh, my gosh. And it is... let's just move there. Let's just move there, shall we? So in terms of this, number one, Let's see if I can. Can I find number one?
Numero uno.
I have so many pages here.
A.
Yes, I promise.
The
I can
top
find
of the list.
Number one. Let's start at the very beginning,
the
shall
first
we?
First one.
It's like the song. Start at the very beginning. I'm going to read a bit of it, okay?
Okay.
All right, so let's read together, shall we? This is from Sports Illustrated, dated 1/31 of 22. Cooper Kupp's approach to greatness. Last spring, before Cooper Kupp turned this season into an argument for NFL history, he moved to a Portland suburb and transformed a backyard tennis court into a barn that doubled as a football laboratory. The goal? Explore the science that drives elite receivers. You'll already get this, but he's as close to brilliant as you can be, I think. Dive to subterranean depths, examine his job and how to excel even more at it through analytical concepts of movement like dynamic organisms and uncontrolled manifolds. That means a variety of movements, many, many. In Kupp's latest football experiment, the dynamic organism was him. Plan in place and barn constructed, Kupp drilled into as many movement options, wiggles, cuts, stutter steps as he could develop or hone. The uncontrolled manifolds approach is not just a collection of these movement options, but how his body chooses them, ideally through subconscious calculations performed by his central nervous system. They came automatically as the event unfolded before him, the play. All must be deeply ingrained so that he can access and deploy them instantly at any moment. He would take variables, alignments, schemes, skills, weaknesses, and body languages of defenders, weather, playing surface, and equipment like which cleats he would wear, and input the data he gleaned into an internal calculator. Then he would go on to lead the NFL this last year, 2021.
So the key is get open. If you want to catch the ball, and if the quarterback sees you're not open, he's not throwing to you. But if you're open, you've got a chance to catch the ball, and he's figuring out what moves do I put on, how do I run it all through my computer in my head and know what step to do, what way to go, what this receiver's weakness is, and he studied it.
Yes.
He broke it down.
Yes.
And
although
it paid
he
off.
Sorry, say again?
It paid off.
It has in spades. And he started, just to be clear, in Yakima, Washington, a total unknown, although his grandfather and father were both pros. He had two major things going against him. He was underweight, and he was slow. Well, okay, I guess you can overcome those, right? He was slow and underweight. Tough to overcome. Now, as a part of this, all of us, and I'm including myself on this, so Dennis the preacher, here we go. All of us repeat to ourselves our own weaknesses, do we not?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of that. Or I could have gone there, but I just, I guess I'm not up for it today.
I'm slow.
I'm slow. Yeah. Or I didn't get up early enough this morning. Whatever it is, we tend to repeat those negatives to ourselves.
Well, what I like about the story is that he is such an unlikely success story, but that he was determined to be in the NFL and to make the Hall of Fame. So where is he at in his story now compared to those dreams? Because even his own coach in high school was like, that's kind of cute, right?
That's kind of cute. And you go directly to the second point. Thank you, Shay.
Mm-hmm.
Weak. He was weak. One morning before his sophomore football season, Cooper cornered his coach, Jay Dumas, his high school football coach, in the weight room that doubled as his peach tree. His peach tree was where he would look up at the sky after the agricultural season was done, and just gaze up at the sky through the peach tree, and read as well. Did Dumas think he could play in college? He said to him. Cooper did. Yes, maybe. Could. In the back of my mind, I thought I'd probably play he'd probably play at Central Washington, Dumas says, referring to the nearby Division II program. So he might get there, maybe to a smaller college, is what Dumas, his coach, was thinking. Then Cooper asked, What about the NFL? Whew. Dumas stifled his laughter, laid out percentages that screamed no, and kept his true thoughts. That's not realistic to himself. But Cooper wasn't done. He confessed to another goal, his loftiest. He wanted to enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dumas waited for the punchline that never came. Even if Cooper achieved his normal capacity, his do-anything landed in outer space. Let him dream, Dumas decided. So, those around you may not be able to grasp or embrace your lofty goals. He was obviously a visionary. Cooper is a visionary. By the way, he's 28 years old. 28. So, it doesn't always make sense to share all of these things, but obviously Cooper trusted Dumas. There was a coach, player relationship there. But Dumas kept quiet to his own credit. He didn't say, no, you're full of baloney or any of that.
We'll never be able to do it.
You'll never be able to do that. Now, before we take the break, 4 or 6 weeks ago, Heidi said, what about my own education? I'm thinking about going to get some more education. Are you okay? Can I share the story? I'll be safe.
She's embarrassed because she was the valedictorian and she's very smart. And
yes.
You guys.
She's
let
nice
us
student.
Flatter you for one second, just
Thank
a second,
you,
maybe 2 seconds.
Thank
Heidi.
You. So she doesn't really want to join in on this, but I'll just tell the story. So she wondered about the different designations she might get and questioned the CFA, which is it's a tough one. It's brutally tough. And what did I say to my non-credit? I don't know you want to go after that one.
Just crush my dreams and my vision, Dennis. Just go right in there. And
the next day I had to apologize just to make sure to cover myself here. But I did. I did apologize. And I said, don't let me tell you shouldn't do something or can't or won't or, it doesn't make sense. If you want to pursue that, go for it. Because it's not just about the designation. It's about the people you meet. It's about the process you go through. And obviously, it's about how it begins or continues to change you, isn't it?
Yep.
Heidi, will you remind me and the audience what designation do you have? You have your RICP, which is the Retired Income Certified Professional.
Uh-huh.
You have your Series 6.
Oh, I have 6, 7, 65, 63 insurance license. So just a slew of things. But
so
Dennis does as well, because we have to keep ourselves sharp and we have to keep that vision and that goal,
mm-hmm.
this goal setting. You have to have the next thing that pushes you.
Mm.
And it's sometimes it's hard and it's inconvenient. I mean, you read about this young man and he was wearing leg weights all day at school and high school to build up his strength, which I found amazing.
Yeah, especially since high schoolers are so hard on each other. I mean,
like,
to wear leg weights.
What kind of a nerd are you? Now, he is, I'm just going to call him brilliant. I think he's brilliant. Jim Rohn says it well. If you don't have a list of your goals, I'll tell you your bank balance within a few $100. Mm-hmm. Goals are your vision of the future. Two ways to face them, either one with apprehension or two, anticipation.
Mm.
Are you counting on the outside world, and I'm speaking to myself here, to help you in your goals? They're not going to help you. The weather's not going to change enough to change your goals or change your world. Your family isn't. They love you, but they're not going to change your future that much. So if the weather gets better, your family gets nicer, what kind of an impact, as Rome says, and Jim Rohn rather, what kind of an impact will that have on your goals? Maybe a hair, but not much.
Might make you feel a little better about
them. But it's in the end, if it's going to be, it has to be me that changes and or adjusts.
Mm.
It's not subjective thinking. Excuse me, it's objective. Objective. How can I change what I'm doing? And that's probably the hardest, scariest part as well. Writing it down is not easy. It is not. It's, in some respects, without overstating it, it can almost be scary. You know, should I write that down? You know, I'd love to do that, but, you know, you can almost be fearful.
Well, once you write it down, you make it reality. So
right, makes it real.
Every coach you work with will say, we're writing this down, we'll write it down. Another thing that this football player did, this young man, is he hired people to help him get where he wanted to go. So even though it's up to you, hiring a coach, which I'm a coach, you hire coaches, I've hired my own coaches, helps
My wife has a coach bag.
She has a coach bag. So does Heidi, I believe. So Heidi just carries her coach with her.
Well, they are stylish. Nope.
So when you say when you write it down, it's reality. But what he did at top of it, he's already in the NFL. And I know great success stories, people at the top of their game. You write it down where you want to be, but you have to know the steps to get there. Like Shay said, you either hire experts to help you or lay out the steps. What's it going to take to get there?
That's the next. That's number three right after the break. Ron scores.
He scores!
He scores!
This is way too fun. How can we be having this much fun? Thank you for listening.
Well, it's a wonderful message.
I eat it up. I don't even know why it's been... I'll just say this, so good for me and my family and those around us, but I'm so thankful. This radio show is a part of that. It really is. I would not have called Paul Binsfeld, 17 years ago to ask him if we could have our own radio show. I mean, I never would have done that if it wouldn't have been for the class that we'd taught. And it was the next thing. I was told, Ron, are you with me here? I was told I had a face for radio. I mean, yes. What are you going to do?
What do you call the radio station?
Let's take a break, shall we? And we'll be right back.
We shall return. It's Prout Financial Design, Dennis Prout and Company. Oh, you know, before we go, can we get a quick call?
Sure.
We want to make let's see. We'll get a call, and then we'll take a quick break with Dennis Prout and Company. Amity's on the line in Maple City wants to talk about goal setting. Good morning, Amity.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
Years ago, I read an article by a study done in Harvard about goal setting. Mm-hmm. And they said what they had people do that were graduating from Harvard in all different categories to write down what their goals were. It could be one word, it could be a comment, it could be a paragraph. And just write it down, put it away. You can look at it as much as you want or not look at it at all. Years later, like 20 years later, when they had a reunion of people, part of the study was to find out who met their goals, who reached their goals. And it turned out that the ones that wrote them down were the ones that actually met their goals. Mm-hmm. And it was just a matter of writing them down.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
it
you.
Works.
It
works.
Does. It does.
All right, Amity, appreciate thanks the for the input there, for the call.
So Shay Stats next, that actually Shay corresponds stats. To the subject at hand.
Shay yeah, stats. So goal settings.
Yeah.
Here's some stats. Speaking of not people not goal setting. Currently, well, this is from the Gallup surveys a couple years ago. Employee disengagement is costing U.S. over $550 billion per year. 88% of employees do not have a passion for the work. 70% of U.S. workers are not engaged. Two-thirds of employees that are interviewed are very overwhelmed. And only 40% of the workforce knew about their company's goals. Only 40%. 70% are disengaged, doing just enough not to get fired, or actively sabotaging their employers.
What percentage?
70%.
Wow.
In 2021, there was 4.4 million people who resigned from their jobs. The Great Resignation.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson, along with Shea Pataja. Today, we're talking about the magic, the proven magic of setting goals. Welcome back.
Yeah, am I writing it down? Yes, thank you, Ron. So, just jumping right in. That anecdote is relayed to Craig in Yakima.
Craig, by the way,
is Cooper's father.
So, yeah, jumping back, Sports Illustrated article about Cooper Kupp, the wide receiver for the L.A. Rams.
You can say it three times quickly, I promise.
Cooper Kupp.
That anecdote is relayed to Craig in Yakima. Snow blankets the high school football field where his son began to dream of the Hall of Fame. Craig points, shifts and mimics, memories returning. He pauses as if he's unsure whether he should voice the notion in his head. So much distance and so many experiments stand between those years and this season. And yet, one person who always knew the answer to who the heck is Cooper Kupp didn't laugh when his teenage son scribbled Pro Football Hall of Fame onto a vision board, if I can say it. Pro Football Hall of Fame onto a vision board.
Huh. That's where he wanted to be.
That's where he wanted to be. So he visioned out there, even though he didn't know how he was going to get there. Really? I mean, I thought Craig stammers, his father continues. And then he says, screw it. I really did think it was not out of the realm of possibility, he says. So he knew, because of his own experience and his own father's experience, Craig himself, that it was not out of the realm of possibility, but in essence, he saw the components his own son Cooper had, and he was able to add those together and think, it's possible. It's possible if he works hard enough, and if he accentuates his own skills enough. His own skills. So it came through intense study, consultation, training, a willingness to learn, the pre-thought of writing it down, all those combined together. It was not just one component
right
that got him there.
And that determination. That's what he was going to do.
So what is it that you want to do? What is it that you really want to achieve? Are you even allowing yourself to think about it? Well, I have the basic training there. Here's what I'd like to do. Will you even allow yourself to think about it? Given that you've taken some time to think about it, why not write it down and take the risk to write it down first and then think about the components of what it's going to take to get there, the baby steps, if you will, the baby steps to get there. I don't know. An easy example is, we talked about this a few weeks back. Dennis, you're at 300 push-ups? Well, I started that not having any concept that I was going to do that. It was simply, I started 7-8 years ago because it was a way to try to stay in shape to some degree. Well, COVID hit and there was nothing else to do and I was going to try to be stronger so that I could continue doing this career, honestly, because it's intense. So I worked out more literally, more intensely, and then I started counting and I became surprised. Wow, I'm at 200, then I'm at 225, and then 250. So all of those things together can really, that's what makes the difference. It's building on the strengths that you've already worked on.
You don't want to set yourself up for failure and get up and say, well, tomorrow I'm going to start doing 300 push-ups every day.
Yeah,
and then say, oh, it doesn't work. You know, you have to.
Yeah. I hope to get 10 in the first time I worked out. You know, really, you know, I'm hoping I can get 10 out or 15.
I think for change, you just, all you need to do to start is the desire And most people sabotage themselves the minute they feel desire because they're afraid of what change will disrupt. Will it disrupt my marriage? Will it disrupt my relationships? Will it disrupt my income?
How will other people view it?
Yeah.
We give them a lot of input or say in our lives, even though they've not said anything negative about that.
No, we typically all have some type of committee, right? And we feel in our minds, the committee is the people we ask about these things or feel. And some committees have people who are no longer living on them because the voice of their parent is still in their head, no matter how old they are. And they're inviting these voices and letting them still have an opinion. Even as adults, it doesn't matter. We're still trying to break through those saboteurs in our minds to get to the next phase.
Well, what I really like about this guy, one of the things I like, is that he didn't have like the physical talent or the natural talent. Because a lot of times you see people and you're like, well, that's just, you know, they're born with that talent or whatever. But this guy had his goal. And even though maybe he didn't have the exact natural talent that you need to exceed, he used other things to get to that same goal. So you can get there maybe by a different path than the obvious one.
You don't have to take the same path as everyone else, and that's a great example, Heidi, and I'm going to share this. This goes right into this part of the story. Long before Cup elevated into the rare air breathed by some of the most accomplished receivers in NFL history, marquee names like Jerry Rice, us older guys remember him for sure, Michael Irvin and Calvin Johnson, he designed his experiments to ensure he would be nothing like them, and exactly so, just as you kind of said there, Heidi. Mm-hmm. Cup would never match Rice's pedigree, greatest of all time, he says. Irvin's competitive nature, incredible, or Johnson's superhero athleticism. Cup says, that dude is a cyborg jumping over three people without planting his feet.
Yeah.
So Cooper saw those talents, and he acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. Awesome, but if Cup dreamed beyond logical expectations, conducted the right tests, worked assiduously to improve, and timed everything perfectly, what seemed impossible to most appeared quite possible to him. Quite possible. Mm-hmm. That his job is the same as their jobs never altered Cup's ambitions. He simply needed to take a different, route to the same place. How else would he approach the game-changing authority of someone like Johnson, who is 3 inches taller, almost 30 pounds heavier, and, no offense to the Cup family, genetically more gifted in every way, So Cup recognized his own limitations, but he studied his own, he knew what his weaknesses were. But then he also worked on his strengths. His quick speed. They examined him. He got advice from consultants and found through that consultation GPS studies from the LA organization that found that his acceleration was faster than virtually anyone else. On the quick, in 20 yards, he could get to speed faster than anyone else. So what did he do? He worked on that. He watched films of legends, Rice, Irvin, Johnson, Marvin Harrison, Randy Moss, but rather than see what he could never be, dreamed of something else, his own future. So he thought about how he could change his own situation. And got input from experts. That's why Cup visited Ryan Baugus, founder of Headquarters Wellness in Wilsonville, Oregon. So this is taking him on a journey to other people that he probably would have never had because he knew that he needed something more. He continued pursuing it. Well, some people have, he's crazy talking all the time about football. Why they diagram movement options inside a gym, plotting a path forward, Baugus says doing something special, that was the reason, which explains not only Cup's season, but everything he channeled into it. So we got significant input from experts. The journey to Cupp's slice of NL history began with a single step, though not an obvious or metaphorical one. No, Cupp winnowed his focus to one actual step, his first off the line of scrimmage, football's most critical movement option. So this goes on to detail how he broke it into, they tailored his training program to address that specific movement, and not for every day or every session, but for every rep. Jernstam viewed Cupp as a phenomenal accelerator, quick, fluid, and aggressive in his bursts. To upgrade phenomenal, they turned to drills, sprints, and an ancient Chinese military treatise, The Art of War. The book highlights one relevant combat strategy, the concept of space, creating your own or decreasing your enemies. And I won't read the rest of it, but it's just one more component of how he achieved greatness.
And even when he, got to the NFL, he really put in the work to get better. He didn't just say, hey, I hit my goal, I'm here. He's working on Hall of Fame now.
He worked assiduously at not being complacent. Complacency, he knew, was his enemy. So his self-talk fought against that.
Couple of text messages, by the way. Sure. One of them, Dennis's goal-setting ideas are paying dividends for my family. Thank you to Prout Financial Design.
Well, kind.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Very nice.
And then somebody else said, what is the difference between mutual funds and index funds? Which is better for grandkids' education?
Which is better? Do we need to take a break here before we answer that question?
We've
We're not
got
a break
about
time.
3 minutes,
okay, awesome. So, it's going to depend on time frame. And frankly, the major component is you actually saving. So, generally, if the children are younger, equity type mutual funds, if you're willing to withstand the ups and downs, will do it. Now, obviously, if it's an index fund, it's going to be 100% in the equities markets. So you have to be able to withstand that risk personally, watching that go up and down that much. It's really dependent on diversification. Keep in mind, if they're that young, diversification not only to the U.S. markets, but generally to the international markets as well. That's a quick answer to that question, okay?
All right, we should start to wrap up here. Just reminders to people, all of this that we talked about today and all of these programs, Shay, can be found where?
ProutFinancialDesign.com. You can go to iTunes to listen to this show as a podcast, and you can call our office at 231-947-3992 if you want to schedule a no-obligation meeting with Heidi or Dennis.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.